Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and now let's talk about coffee.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Oh, man, how can that not put you in a good mood? So we're joined now by Common Health's Carrie Kohlberg. And Carrie, we played that jingle not because we're necessarily advertising for Folgers or that that's the best part of waking up. It turns out that drinking coffee might actually be really good for us, right? Yeah,
that is right. So there's a big new study out today that adds to the data suggesting that probably a cup or two or three or four or eight might actually be good for
eight
you.
Eight cups. Come on. Yeah, well, I'd be a jiggling, vibrating mess if I had eight cups of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it might not be good for you, Anthony. It might really make you kind of scary, right? There are plenty of personal sensitivities to coffee and caffeine, but the study that's just out today in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine looks at the big picture, the very big picture. It includes about 500,000 Brits who contributed their data and their DNA, and it finds an inverse relationship between people drinking up to eight or more cups per day and all-cause mortality. So that means if you drank that coffee, you had a slightly lower chance of dying of any disease during the 10 years or so of the study.
Wow. Lower chance of dying of any disease. Now, is it linked to any particular type of coffee?
So, no. In fact, some of the most striking findings in this study are that it didn't matter whether you drank caffeinated or decaffeinated coffee. It didn't matter whether you drank instant or brewed coffee, you still got that slightly lower chance of dying.
Wow. Now I can imagine folks out there being horrified. The coffee purists, right? That you can get the same health effects from, say, Maxwell House as you can get from that fancy cup of our artisanal terroir coffee.
Yes, darling. Yes. And I found it personally surprising because to me, instant coffee tastes pretty terrible and some brewed coffee tastes heavenly. But, you know, it isn't surprising to some local nutrition experts that I spoke with, like Ed Giovannucci. He's a professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health.
There are many potential beneficial compounds in coffee. There are literally hundreds and thousands of compounds in coffee, and people think of caffeine. But it's likely that some of the most beneficial compounds are not the caffeine.
Hmm. So there are those plant compounds called phytochemicals. And, you know, those basic elements are going to be there whether it's caffeinated or not, and whether you use a $5,000 espresso machine or you just pour some hot water onto some powder. And one more thing that didn't matter in the study, Anthony, was your DNA. So the study looked at some common gene variations that help determine whether someone metabolizes quickly or slowly.
All right. So if I'm a slow metabolizer, that probably means that the coffee stays in my system for a long time, right? Might keep me up at night if I drink a whole lot of coffee in the afternoon?
Right. You'd be one of those people, while the fast metabolizers just kind of burn it off. So there had been some health concerns about the slow metabolizers, but this study didn't find any difference in the risk of dying for slow or fast metabolizers.
Wow. So this is just good news. Drink that coffee. So and it's the latest batch in a whole bunch of good news about coffee, right?
That's right. Like, I remember years ago reading that coffee might raise your risk of pancreatic cancer. There were some other concerns. But, you know, even though it annoys us when science flip-flops, it does advance. And here's Professor Alice Lichtenstein. She's the Gershoff Professor of Nutrition Science and Policy at Tufts. She calls this new study the most comprehensive study to date on the topic, although there have been smaller ones.
Early on, there were some reports of potential adverse effects as far as coffee and health outcomes. But when the data were looked at more carefully, and more factors were controlled for, and more contemporary methods of producing the coffee and consuming the coffee were taken into consideration, it seems not only were those potentially negative effects not corroborated, but it turns out that a lot of positive effects of coffee were identified.
So it is looking pretty solid at this point that moderate coffee drinking up to several cups is healthy, or at least it's not unhealthy. And Professor Lichtenstein is talking about physical health effects, but of course, the most positive effect of coffee, at least for me, is that it's this beautiful cognitive enhancer.
Yeah, lots of reasons why it's America's sort of drug of choice, caffeine in coffee, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And Professor Lichtenstein says, you know, it's indeed a rare treat that there's something that feels really good and is really good for us. She says if there were like a big study on fruits and vegetables lowering the risk of dying, we'd all just kind of shrug and say, of course.
Here's a situation where there was always some feeling that, oh, can't be that, you know, I enjoy it too much, it can't be good for me. And now we're finding out it's good, so I think we should just relax and enjoy it, but also use common sense.
And by common sense, what she means is, for example, you know, if you're adding 500 calories of cream and sugar to a coffee beverage the size of a big gulp, you might want to keep an eye on that.
But right? Carrie, that raises sort of an interesting question, because what are we actually, what's the study talking about when it says up to 8 cups of coffee? Are we talking, you know, 8 little demitasses of espresso or 8 frappuccinos? I mean, what are we...
Right. That's a really good point. The study was just going on what participants said when they answered the question, how many cups of coffee do you drink per day? So, you know, it's pretty blurry. They need to do more investigation. But I'd say the bottom line is, you know, Professor Lichtenstein says on the basis of this study, some people who were holding back on coffee because of lingering health concerns, they might want to drink a little more if they want to.
Yeah.
But I would also suggest that if someone doesn't enjoy coffee, the data are not strong enough to indicate that they should start drinking coffee.
So, Anthony, you don't have to drink coffee if you don't want to.
Oh, but I want to. I want to.
Then
and
you
can. This is making me very happy, this study. Carrie Goldberg, yes. Editor of WBUR's Common Health, thank you so much for your reporting, as
You're
always.
Welcome.